Welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. This program is on the air live right now to talk about how the Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in Christ Jesus. Call now. Let's talk about it. Talk about how the Basic Gospel intersects with your daily life. That toll-free number, 1-800-677-9377. Write it down. Keep it handy. But if you have something you'd like to talk about, we want to talk with you right now. 1-800-677-9377. That's the number to dial. Well, Bob and Richard and everyone listening, happy Tuesday to you. And Richard, welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah, good to have you back.
Good trip.
Well, yes, Richard, it is good to have you back and back in the studio. We've been talking about freedom this month. And tell us a little bit about how this gospel message set you free, or what were you in bondage to?
Where do I start?
Where do we all start with that question? That's a loaded question,
yeah.
Isn't it?
I was God's guy. I knew I was God's guy. I could prove to you that I was God's guy on the outside. On the inside, that was a completely different story. And back in those dark old days, I wrote a lot of music, and most of the songs, if you just listen to the lyrics, you would wonder why I wasn't out playing with trucks on the freeway, you know. But I was desperate for peace and for freedom. I just absolutely was tied up in knots. And slowly but surely, I mean, God took me on a long trip, 15 years worth of this. He had to knock all the legalism out of me, you know. Well, how are you doing here? Well, I'm not doing very well there. Well, why don't you leave that off? Well, okay, I'll leave that off. Well, how are you doing on this a few months later? Well, I'm not doing very well there. And I kept holding on and holding on and holding on, and slowly but surely the gospel began to take hold. And when I finally read 2 Corinthians, didn't know 2 Corinthians was in the Bible other than just as a name, and found out that if you're trying to keep the law, you've got a veil over your eyes. And I said, I got to get rid of this veil. And Jesus said, well, let me help you with that. He took it away. And when you take that first breath of fresh air after being in the mines for all those years, there's no going back.
No, there's not.
Going back ever again.
Yeah, it's exactly what Christ said. I mean, it's for freedom that he set us free. Don't be put back under the yoke of bondage ever again. And boy, when you've tasted that freedom, you don't want to go back. I mean, the world will try to pull you back, and sin mm-hmm. will try to pull you back, and legalism will try to pull you back, and religion will try to pull you back. I mean, there's all kinds of things out there that want to rob you of that freedom. But like you said, when you've breathed in that fresh air of freedom, you don't want to go back to that old stuff at all. Well, let's talk about it on today's broadcast. 1-800-677-9377. 1-800-677-9377. Let's talk about your journey with Christ, how this basic gospel intersects with your day-to-day living. It's the most exciting stuff that we could ever talk about. Mm-hmm. The fact that Jesus Christ is alive, he's living in us, and he can speak into any situation that we're going through in such a positive way that helps us really know the steps that we need to take to move forward in victory and power and be able to experience true peace and joy in our day-to-day lives.
Well, Bob, as you said, that number is open right now, 1-800-677-9377. We await your calls, friends, on this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and me, Bob Davis. And we have some good news for a gentleman named Phil from Phoenix, Arizona, who wrote to us this morning. He said, I worked jobs 7 days a week, two jobs as a matter of fact. I feel like I'm away from God and haven't gone to church for a long time. Does this make me a backslider? And if I haven't been sharing about Christ as much as I know the Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, does that mean that when I die, I'll go to hell? I'm stuck. I'm discouraged. That's from Phil in Phoenix. What can we tell Phil?
Well, being stuck, that's bondage.
I mean, sure is.
And this gospel message is here to set Phil free. And the way it does it is to bring Phil truth. And he's talking about the fact that, you know, he hadn't been able to go to church because he's working two jobs. He's trying to make ends meet, that sort of thing. So he feels like a backslider. Is he a backslider?
Absolutely not.
No, there's no such thing as a backslider. Is he away from God?
No.
Absolutely not. If he is in Christ, if he has come to know Jesus Christ personally, then Christ has come to live inside of him. And wherever Phil is, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, whether it's driving in the car, Jesus Christ is right there with him. That is the joy of this gospel message. And so he can have communion with Christ. He can be, you know, talking with Christ and praying and listening and all of those wonderful things that we as children of God are able to do. And the second part, will he go to hell if he's not out sharing the good news as the Bible kind of urges us to do with the great commission there, that we're to go out in all the world preaching the gospel and identifying people with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Well, if our salvation was dependent upon us going out, I don't think any of us would be saved, would we?
Not at all.
Yeah, so it's by grace through faith. That's how we're saved. It's all a work of Jesus Christ. Our salvation is on his shoulders, not ours. And when that grace starts to work in our lives, it compels us to go out and share. It compels us to give of our resources. It compels us to meet needs around us, not because we have to, not because our salvation is dependent upon it, but because that's the salvation working itself out of us in day-to-day life. So there's great news for Phil. He can experience freedom through faith in Jesus Christ.
Without question. And again, the open lines, 1-800-677-9377, 1-800-677-9377. And Bob and Richard, I think that's the hallmark of this broadcast, the fact that we're on the air every day to answer questions. People are hurting. People like Phil who write to us. And so we are just privileged beyond measure to be able to bring the good news into your lives. We want to share it with you. Give us a call, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Jamaica, New York, and talk with Isaac, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Isaac.
Fine. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you. How can we help you today?
Well, you spoke about a booklet or pamphlet that you had that said 10 most things to tell Jehovah's Witness.
Right.
Well, I'd like that pamphlet or that booklet, you know.
Okay, well, we'll certainly put you on hold in just a few minutes and tell you how we can get that into your hands, and we would love to put it into your hands. I think it's an important little resource. We're constantly having people come and knock at our doors, and sometimes we don't know exactly what to say, and because we don't know what to say, we get tied up by their persuasive tactics. So we need to know what we truly believe, and this book will help bring you to that point, Isaac. Do you have people in your family that you're trying to talk to, or folks that you know that you're trying to share with and want to be better equipped to do so?
Well, yes, I sort of have an outreach, a general outreach for the lost, but I would like to know step by step a guide to approach the Jehovah's Witness. I have been approached by them over the years, time and time again, and I don't know if I have proper scriptures without going into a very detail. You know, I can just go step by step. You know,
right? Absolutely. Well, Isaac, let me put you on hold, and we'll get a copy of this resource into your hands, The 10 Most Important Things You Can Say to a Jehovah's Witness. It was written by Ron Rhodes, a friend of mine, an excellent researcher and biblical scholar, and he's really juiced it down to, I think, some key points that we need to really be aware of as we discuss the Word of God with somebody from that particular background. So, Isaac, thanks for your call. Let me put you on hold, and we'll get this to you. Okay, my friend?
Thanks, Isaac.
Thank you. Thank you.
The book is called, as Bob said, The 10 Most Important Things You Can Say to a Jehovah's Witness. And, friends, if you'd like to get a copy of that, you can do that by going online to basicgospel.net. Click the store link, or you can just go straight to the store by going to store.basicgospel.net. Click the book section, and you'll find this particular book.
Let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Martin, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Martin.
Well, good day there.
And to you as well. How can we help you today?
Well, I'd like to know, how can we, what are the best scriptures to share for somebody who's nervous?
Somebody that's nervous?
Yeah, for example, I have a friend who's very nervous, And seems like this person is always doing things that are not right.
Well, yeah. is that the reason he's nervous?
Yeah.
Because
they make up stories. Sometimes they have their ways, you know, to try to get away from me. And me, who is a believer, I try to encourage this person to go to church. But this person doesn't feel comfortable going to church.
Well, Martin, here's what I would say to you in that regard. If somebody's nervous because of what they're doing, that's a big problem. The nervousness is just symptomatic of something deeper. And I would say to you that your friend needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. He
Amen.
Needs to know what the gospel is. And I would start in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and starting in verse 18. And it says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. So your friend is nervous because of the things that he's doing. You've admitted that he's doing lots of things that are wrong, and he's nervous about that. What he's nervous about is getting caught. He's nervous about being found out, and he's nervous about being punished because sin carries punishment, and that punishment from God's vantage point is death. But Jesus Christ has already dealt with sin. And I think if your friend knows that and understands that and responds to that by faith, he can see that nervousness start to go away, and he can also see the power of God in his life that will teach him how to say no to sin and yes to Jesus Christ. So what your friend needs is a good dose of the gospel message, and he needs to listen to it and understand that it is a story about Christ Jesus, the fact that Christ is a Savior, the fact that Christ can rescue him from the dominion of sin, the power of sin, the punishment of sin, and can set him free to experience a brand new life where he doesn't have to be nervous, where he can actually be confident as he stands before God. So I think the gospel message, Martin, is what he needs. And what I would love to do is to put a CD into your hands. It's called Drive the Stake, and it's something I think you could pass on to your friend and have him listen to it, and then discuss what that gospel message is.
Amen. Sounds good.
Okay. Well, let me put you on hold, and we'll send that to you. Again, that's a CD called Drive the Stake. You hold the line, Martin.
This is
a question?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to ask, can I ask who am I speaking to?
My name is Bob.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Brother Bob.
Well, you were welcome. Did you have a follow-up question?
Well, I don't want to find out. What time do your program start on the radio?
4 o'clock on the East Coast. 4 o'clock goes from 4 to 4:30.
Every day?
Every day, Monday through Friday, right there on WMCA.
I guess I'll encourage some people to listen to that.
Well, thank you.
Very
we appreciate
good, yeah.
that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, let me put you on hold, and we'll send that CD to you.
Yeah. And some of those who you were listening, we'd love to hear from you at 1-800-677-9377, toll-free wherever you hear the broadcast, 1-800-677-9377. Well, guys, another question from Kurt. This is kind of a question that we get sometimes. What is your take on infant baptism? He says, I know that water baptism does not save, but what should churches and parents do or not do in infant baptism?
Well, there's nothing in the Word of God that tells parents to present their children to the Lord for infant baptism. There's nothing that would encourage that whatsoever. I know there are several passages, do not hinder the little children to come unto me, and a lot of this idea of infant baptism stems from that. Mm-hmm. And certainly we would never want to prohibit a little child coming to Jesus Christ. We should encourage that. God welcomes him with open arms. Jesus Christ welcomes him with open arms. But as far as the practice of infant baptism, there's nothing in the Word of God about that at all. I was baptized as a baby. I think I was maybe 8 months old. I remember it well.
I bet you do.
Have no idea that happened to me. The pastor gave a letter to my parents, and I think they were supposed to give that letter to me and let me read it so I could understand what that was, and I don't think that ever transpired. But it wasn't until I really came to Christ and really understood the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ that my life changed. And once it did, I wanted to be baptized to make a public testimony, to celebrate the fact of Christ's work in my life. And so I was baptized again as an adult, and that had meaning to me.
Sure.
And I think that's what we need to do, to recognize that baptism, water baptism, is really a celebration of what Christ has already done in our lives. And when we've come to Christ by faith, when we've been born again, I think that's the time that we should celebrate.
Yes. Although one of the things I've seen done in a couple of churches, and this is really helpful if you've got a family with mixed beliefs and there's somebody who very strongly believes in infant baptism and you don't, what do you do? Well, treat it as a parent dedication more than as a child baptism, because obviously the little boy or girl doesn't understand. But the parents understand the meaning of this and how important it is for the family, the immediate family, and the family of God, your brothers and sisters in Christ, to come alongside and be there with you to help you in your parenting. So you can turn it to something very positive and not get wrapped up in whatever.
Right. It's basically, I think my mom and dad were saying, we're going to raise, you know, this child in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, which they did.
Mm-hmm.
And it had benefits. You know, I always knew that Jesus Christ was the answer. They took me to church. I heard the gospel message. It didn't necessarily come out right as far as my interpretation of it until much later. But I never doubted that Jesus Christ was the answer. Mm-hmm. And so my mom and dad did exactly what God called them to do, to raise me up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And you know, maybe they would say it paid dividends. I don't know.
It took. Yeah.
We'll have them on some other day.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Well, we have open lines right now. Still got time on the clock. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel and find out how it possibly is intersecting with your daily life, or maybe not. So we want to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377. Friends, our newest resource is called Gateway to Grace, 6 messages and a study guide that can peel away all that phony and boring religious stuff that masquerades as Christianity. It's totally rich in biblical content and can open the door so that you can experience the reality of God's love and grace. And it's yours for any gift this month to Basic Gospel. We'll send you this excellent resource. To order, simply go online to basicgospel.net. Again, basicgospel.net. Or you can call and speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828. And she will get one on the way to you for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. Again, that number, 800-727-2828. Another question, this one from Katie, who writes to us from, well, believe it or not, from Aruba. Where in the Bible does it say the order of relationships after God? Spouse first, children after that, or how does that work?
Well, there's no place that really, you know, sets an order for it. But in the book of Ephesians, we do see the importance of marriage. Marriage between two believers is like Christ's relationship with the church.
Yes.
It's very, very powerful imagery that Paul uses in that particular passage in Ephesians chapter 5. We get hung up on, you know, wives being submissive to husbands and husbands loving wives as Christ loved the church. But Paul says, but I'm not really talking about marriage. I'm talking about this mystery. I'm talking about Christ and his church. So that relationship kind of shows to the world what Christ's relationship to the church is all about, how much that he really loves us. It's kind of a shadow of the reality that we have right there. So I would say that within any family, the most important relationship is that relationship of husband to wife and wife to husband. And if it will be held up as the most important relationship in the household, I think everything else will fall into place.
Yes.
A lot of times children try to take the place of the wife as the prime person in the household. And sometimes dads direct attention to their children in a way that tells them, you're more important to me than my wife is. And I think when a husband does that, he's going to put the whole household in chaos. You know, the wife is not going to be very happy. The kids aren't going to be very happy. There's going to be all sorts of fighting, infighting, and that sort of thing. But if he will say to the kids, my wife is the most important person to me, and together we're going to love you, you're going to see things just kind of fall into place within the household. So I would say within any home, the husband-wife relationship is the single most important as far as human relationships are concerned.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Bob. Thank you for that. 1-800-677-9377, but you're going to have to call quickly now if you'd like to squeeze in one final question on this edition of Basic Gospel. Here's a question from Jan, who lives in Detroit. Given the deep spiritual roots of yoga in Hinduism, is yoga a practice that Christians should avoid? Even though we may not be buying into any of the yoga babble, are there spiritual forces like demonic forces, New Age forces that we should be concerned about?
Well, it does have, you know, Eastern roots, you know, things that aren't necessarily biblical. I think it was brought about from a spiritual practice. So it's not just an exercise program. If you really get into it, it's mind control, that sort of thing. But you know, we make a lot out of that kind of stuff. I think there are many people today who are just engaging in yoga because it's good for the body, the stretching and that sort of thing. They're not interested in any spiritual aspect. They're not interested in anything other than the fact, hey, I want to lose about 10 pounds, yeah. And here's a way that might shed those 10 pounds or something. So sometimes we make too much out of it, but in all things, we need to be aware. I mean, yes. We are involved in spiritual warfare. It doesn't matter where we are in this world. There are spiritual darts being thrown our way all the time. And sometimes it can come in the most benign forms, you know, something that you would never suspect. But then when you engage, you're caught up. You're sucked into a whole different philosophy, and soon you find that you're in bondage. Well, how do you escape that? Well, by truth. The truth will set you free. And that's what we're talking about. We need to fight for truth. So when we engage in anything, I think we need to be aware. We need to kind of look at it from a truth perspective. How will this affect me in one way or another? And I think if we will show some discernment, then we'll be able to make good decisions, decisions that will protect us, decisions that will keep us free in Christ.
Absolutely. I think we have time to squeeze in just one more question very quickly. This is from April in Napa, California. My question is that I've heard that 1 John 1:9 is not for saints, but for sinners. How can this verse be for sinners if we confess our sins? I believe this verse applies to the saint.
Well, that's the common interpretation, that it does apply to believers. I think the context of it would render another opinion, and that's the fact that John is writing to those who claim to be without sin, who say they've never sinned, who are deceiving themselves, who do not have the truth in them. He's writing to that group of people. We would know them as Gnostics, and his remedy is 1 John 1:9. If you will just confess, I don't know if you will or won't, but if you will, you can count on the fact that God is just and faithful, and that he's done something with your sins already, and that you can be cleansed and forgiven once and for all.
Yes, indeed. Well, I knew we had time, so there you are.
Thanks, that's right.
Bob. Thanks, Richard, for your participation in the broadcast today, being available for our listeners. Friends, you know, your support is what keeps Basic Gospel on the air with liberating truth. And to express our appreciation for your generous gift during Independence Month here at Basic Gospel, we'll send you our newest CD series that we talked about a little bit earlier, Gateway to Grace. It's 6 messages with study guide. It will shed the phony religious stuff and open the door so you can experience the reality of God's love and grace. For any gift this month to Basic Gospel, we'll send you this excellent resource. To order, simply go online to basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net, or call 1-800-727-2828. That's available during Central Time office hours. That's 1-800-727-2828 for Gateway to Grace. Yours this month for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Now for Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer and the Basic Gospel staff, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then.